So we started out helping other fintechs. We started out not only giving them the software solution, we also provide them with the product development services and guidance to actually enrich them to reach a better level. Because ultimately, our goal is to have access to finance for the masses.
Welcome to Mangtas Nation Season 2. This season is all about tech of the future. We'll be sharing real-world experiences and featuring astounding guests to help guide you in your tech journey. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
The show starts right now.
Hello, everyone. This is Jackie DeManc together with Wouter Dilbare, and welcome to the Mangtas Nation podcast. Joining us today is a guest who has over 10 years of experience in technology development and has worked with some of the most innovative startups and well-established corporates in the industry. We are thrilled to have him here today and can't wait to dive into our conversation. So without further ado, please join me, listeners, in welcoming the co-founder, director, and CTO of MyTM, Muhammad Usman Khan. Hey, Muhammad. Hey, thanks for being here with us today and welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you for the introduction. And it's always a pleasure to have a good conversation and the sharing of ideas with like-minded people.
Yeah, nice. We're so excited that Jackie actually completely decorated her room with flags and everything.
Yeah.
Okay, before we start in a more in-depth conversation, yes, this is a celebratory flags for our very special guest today. Well, Usman, can you tell us a bit about yourself?
Okay, so as we all know, tech industry is everybody's favorite. And so I entered in the tech industry with a graduation degree back in 2010. Since then, I've been working with different corporates and different startups, ranging from mobile development to IoT development and next generation tracking solutions and those sort of stuff. While on my journey to that, I came upon this company, the Zin Solution, the company that me and my partner founded back in 2011. So we started this from a very, very humble small office. Dreaming like everybody else sees the example of Google and Microsoft starting in a garage or something like that. So that was the dream. That was where we started from. So we kept on working on this tech company alongside with gaining experiences for working with different sort of international corporations. I've worked with the US corporations, with UK, in Middle East I've worked a lot. And I've gained experience throughout this journey for the various industries, such as travel industries and you can say flight management industry, freight management industry, tracking and every other sort of other things, mobile apps, next generation user tracking and marketing platforms. All this were kind of preparing us for having a vision for the future. So while doing all this, we came up with this startup idea. That's the MyTM, the brainchild made. That was out of a necessity, mainly. Because, you see, we're located in Pakistan, and Pakistan has more than 80% underbanked or unbanked population. So all these population, these people, they don't get facilities to finance, they don't get facilities to basic banking needs. And that puts them in a very closed box of opportunities, because without basic financing and basic banking facilities, you're basically limited. You cannot do a lot of things. You cannot expand or scale. So at that point, me and my partners, who have also world over experiences of different nations, my partners have lived like 14 years in China and in Japan. So having exposure to these, you know, first world countries where everything is automated, everything is on a click of a button or a tap, and here we see our people struggling with just basic payment needs. We found this company, MyTM, we found this startup with a very humble beginning of a payment processor. We wanted to be the first ever QR-based payment processor in Pakistan. That's where we started. So there were a lot of hurdles, there were a lot of pivoting, there was a lot of working around the problems that led us to where we are right now. I'm the technology head as well as a co-founder and director at MyTM. It's been more than 5 years. We've been working towards this drive to get the financing services and access to finance for the masses. So it's not been easy, as we all know, growing startups, taking them from a very basic idea to a working POC, and then reaching out to people for the validation, for the acknowledgement, and for the feedback on improving that. It's a long process. The average age of a startup maturity in Pakistan is around, I guess, 8 years. So I guess it's still a bit of a long way to go. So while working in tech, while working in service industry mainly, we started this startup and we started bootstrapping on it. We started earning from our service industry and investing in this, and we developed it to, you can say, a POC level and then to a proper working scale model. Right now we have more than 1,000 outlets here in Pakistan. We have a payment gateway, we have an online payment processor, as well as exclusive contracts with 3 banks in Pakistan. So while doing all this, we were also reaching out. As you know, always a startup is always hungry for validation. Our startup is always hungry for, you can say, sourcing the pre-seed funding and all that scenario. So we've been part of the National Incubation Center. We've been part of DSO in Saudi Arabia. We've been part of a couple of incubators in UAE as well. So these platforms, they helped us really grow and reach out. So in 2021, we were featured in Jitex Dubai. We are the still till date only company from Pakistan to have reached and won the finals in Jitex over there in Dubai. We got the title of Best New Economy Startup, and that really boosted our confidence. That really gave us the recognition and the boost we needed, because at that point it was already around 4 years into development and surviving and everything. And we were kind of in, you can say, gray waters, like, are we doing this right or something like that? So from there, moving on, we also ventured into fintech solution provider. We came out as a fintech solution provider because in the last 4 years, we had developed a lot of technology related to finance and fintechs and wallets and white label solutions. So we started out helping other fintechs. We started out not only giving them the software solution, we also provide them with the product development services and guidance to actually enrich them to reach a better level. Because ultimately, our goal is to have access to finance for the masses. Majority of the people who have credit cards, who have proper banking facilities, they get facilities easily, they get financing easily. But for a nation's growth, for a you can say a population to have alleviation from poverty, the basic access to finance needs to reach the grassroots level. So that's our aim, and that's where we are working for. Or myself and my partners, we've been totally focused on this startup and this thing, and we've seen a lot of ups and downs and the changes in the industry, changing in the customer preferences. So that has made us learn a lot of things. That's not a really brief introduction about me, by the way, but that kind of covers a lot of playing field.
I have a million follow-ups, but please. You went straight into business.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about yourself before that, right? Like tell us a bit of about, of you know, how you were brought up, you know, and what excited you. And then ultimately, what got you into tech and ultimately entrepreneurship?
Of course. So I basically grew up here in my hometown, Lahore. I was a bit, you can say, curious from the start. My parents would let me fiddle with everything around the house, let me open up the things and go play around with it. I was really interested in engineering and how things were conducted, how things were working from the start. A bit of a story where I got first in the university, I got admissions as an electrical engineer with specialization in telecommunications. So 4 semesters down the line, I had this intuition. I was always good with coding since my school days. So something just pushed me to change my, you can say, majors from electrical engineering to the software engineering. A lot of people.
Was your mom disappointed?
Yes, a lot of people. Yeah, a lot of people were like shocked. Even my, you can say, friends were like, why are you quitting this thing? Because at that point, I guess it was back in 2006, telecom was on the boom. The telcos were really paying well, and telcos were really going up. But having this sort of feeling like I'm going to be just another corporate employee in the long run, this kind of really bothered me. So I kind of moved towards coding, and that was kind of what I loved. So it's like I was pushed into engineering by the reasons, but I was pushed into coding by the heart. So at that point, I changed my majors. I moved into coding. I had to retake some of the courses, and that delayed my graduation a bit. But in the end, it paid off well, because then I got into the industry that I love. So starting from my career from the top, I first off started as a development engineer on Android apps. I worked for 6 months for this company. And then I was like, what's more? I want to do more, because I was making so many apps, but they were mostly similar. So I kind of lost interest there. So I made around 28 apps in 6 months. So I was quick, but I wasn't having fun. So then I moved on to gaming industry.
With a girlfriend or without a girlfriend?
So there was no girlfriend, because it's impossible.
To make all of those in 6 months with a girlfriend.
Yeah. So then I got into the gaming industry, and I really loved that. I really loved that, because it's not only challenging. When you're working in the gaming industry, it's rewarding in many ways. Like you get to enjoy your time a lot. You're doing what you're passionate about. So I was really passionate about the games, and I used to play a lot of games as a kid. But now I got into game development, so it was kind of a dream come true. So plus, as we all know, games and mathematics and all those processes, they are quite tough, and they can be quite, you can say, tricky and mind-boggling at the time. And even the reward is like it's really rewarding when you solve a problem, when you come up with a new game programming or a game solution or a game strategy. So I was in that industry for 2-3 years. Then since I was working with this UK-based company, they kind of promoted me as the technology head for all the mobile development. So then I ventured into iOS development as well as hybrid development. And after that, I had, acquired a lot of experience to become a solutions architect for my company. So that was my journey from a basic mobile app developer to somebody who understands the end-to-end systems. And this is all like, it's a process in the making. You have to go through this process, because there are people like who are out of college and who would prefer building up startups. I would say, yes, please go ahead, but keep that in mind, that the knowledge of the complete industry and the scalability, it comes with time. So you can either spend that time inside your dorm room developing some next generation Facebook or something like that, or you can go out and have exposure from big corporations, because I work with a lot of big corporations. I work with a lot of big systems. So that kind of nurtured me into thinking of the bigger system, thinking of the bigger solutions. So that was my, early career, early education and everything. Growing up, I always was like either playing games on my consoles or doing something on my PC. I was coding at the age of, I guess, 12. So in Pakistan, that was considered like obnoxious, like, what are you doing? This industry is not so stable and not so good in Pakistan at that time. But it boomed up like amazingly. Everybody was like, oh my God. You see, a lot of people who graduated in engineering eventually ended up with the jobs of tech industry, and they are all mostly coding. So So the revolution and the conversion, that was a big pull. And having stepped in earlier, that really gave us the advantage, gave me the advantage to enjoy what I do. So the main thing is, I guess, I've always been doing what I enjoyed. And that was really helpful.
So how do you then go from building games, right, to trying to solve such a big problem, which is finance for the masses, right? How do you make that switch?
So my partner, he used to live in China. He lived in China for around 14 years. So we've had some Chinese clients as well, and we've been communicating. So he always used to like mention the payment systems over there. Like they're so easy. You know, WeChat and other systems, like you can go to a small hawker and you can buy groceries or something and you can just tap and pay. And I was like, but why is this not in Pakistan? Why is this not available to us? I mean, and when is it going to available to us? So I started mind boggling on that, and me and my partner started brainstorming on that. And eventually we came up like, okay, let's just make something like that and see where we go with it. So our first initial draft was a QR-based payment app, which we drafted back in, I guess, early 2018. So at that time, we did the market research. So up till that point, we were just some techies doing some app development and all that. We did not have any exposure to finance and the banking systems and everything. That came along the way after that. So at that point, we were just building this app and we were really excited about it. But then we started studying the regulations. We started running the laws that are governing the financial system. And we were like, no, this is a really big thing. We just made an app and the market is huge. Along those lines, we found out what kind of market we are dealing with. Right now, we have like 240 million population and 80% is unbanked or underbanked. So that makes around 200 million people that we can serve in future or right now. So that's a huge market. So once we studied the business dynamics, we studied how to present ourselves, we studied how to present our idea, then the things started getting more serious and more refined along the way. We acquired our first funding back in 2019 from a Japanese company. So this company is huge. They've got more than $50 billion turnover every year at that time. So they are New York stock listed, Tokyo stock listed, and they evaluated us at $2.1 million. So me and my partners were like mind blown. I mean, we had the idea, we had the partial tech developed, and we were like, how did they come up with this number? In our dreams, it was like not possible that we were worth that much. So that really got us back to the whiteboard. We started thinking like, what point are we missing? What are we missing? What are they seeing in us? I mean, what's there? So that's the point when we actually acquired the knowledge on the amount of transactions that are being conducted in Pakistan offline that could come up to an online method, and how we can facilitate those transactions. So these are the processes that tuned our brain into thinking in a certain way. So we started thinking about, as you suggested, like how did I come up with this solution? Because these are the factors that got us into thinking like, where are we standing? So at that point, we were dreaming of like a cutting edge, next generation payment processing app, super app, which has everything. But then with time, I learned that to get to a super app, you have to like build smaller, acceptable operations that can be incorporated into your industry. Even if a big corporation from USA, from UK, or from Japan comes in Pakistan and launches a similar payment processor that they have over there, it's not going to work. It's never going to work because the masses over here, they need to be conditioned. They need to be trained onto how to use those things. So that's what we learned at that point. So that's why in the initial stage, we humbled down. We didn't come up with a super app or anything. We just started with a travel management app on which you can go and book airline, train, and bus tickets. And you can do that transaction through my TM gateway. That's it. That's what we started with. So that got us into knowing our customers, learning how they learn, how they take payment processing. Are they comfortable with sharing their bank details with, you can say, just entered market app? So that was the journey that got us into financing. After that, it was not easy because, you see, we had to learn the compliances. We had to learn the regulations and everything back and forth. And this all was done with a lot of effort, me and I guess more effort from my founder, my partner, Dr. Zain Farooq, because he comes with a background of oncology and he studied finance, he studied everything. And now we are on advisory boards of different banking platforms in Pakistan after, you can say, restructuring ourselves as the techie financiers. So it's a continual process. I guess when you are into finance or banking or startup culture, one thing I would suggest anybody is that it's must that you keep learning. It's a must that you keep learning. Find good mentors, find good people to learn from. Never stop, you can say, knocking on the doors. So it comes with a lot of rejections. Lot. I mean, I cannot mention how many rejections we had. If I had to put a number, it was above 700. So the process is not easy, but how to absorb it, how to keep going, I guess it's your drive, it's your passion. If you're passionate about something, you'll keep going about it.
So that curiosity that your parents enabled or stimulated really carried forward to your day-to-day today, right?
Yeah.
And if anything, I think that's maybe where a lot of parents should also learn. Right?
Yes.
Stimulate curiosity as opposed to forcing things on your kids. See what happens. You may become like a successful entrepreneur one day.
Yeah, you see, we have to condition our children. It's our duty to condition them to problems because ultimately tech industry is all about problem solving, creating a value where somebody can, utilize your services to ease their life, to have more time, to have more, you can say, earning source on their availability. So you have to build the curiosity. You have to keep letting people make mistakes. I mean, when a little child starts walking, I guess it's better to let him fall more than a dozen times before picking it up, because that way he'll be more conditioned to fall. It's really important to fall to rise ahead, because the people who don't take the fall, that easily, they are more destined towards quitting on something. So to produce the people who are consistent towards making something, who are consistent towards working on something, they need to be conditioned to fall.
And hence 700.
Yes, of course. Yeah, that was
just
easy.
Stand up 700 times and you're good.
Yeah, but you see, we really had good acceptance in the start. Rentrack, the Japanese company that we were working with, that was in the initial 10 companies that we reached out to. So having that acceptance really, really pushed us into like a mindset, no, we're going to get accepted somehow. So 700 plus rejections later, we were still on that mindset that if they can accept us, then somebody else would also.
Got it. And I have some other questions. So why did you decide to you could call it diversify, right? To step into like the services space where you help other fintechs build solutions. Why is that? How does that, first of all, that's kind of different from the vision of finance for the masses. Maybe it isn't, because it's indirectly that. But why did you decide to go down that path? It feels like a distraction, but could also be part of a bigger vision.
Okay, so you see, times, and especially times like COVID, they really change and like change your vision of the world that is going to be in future. So We had a bit of tough time during the COVID. So after that, our main goal was to, you see, our deep down, our main goal is what? Access to finance for masses. So being a startup is really difficult for us to see other startups or see other fintechs competing and working alongside us. So that's one thing that stops people from collaborating. That's the point where me and my partners, we developed this kind of, you can say, a decision or a path where we want to collaborate with everybody. We are open to collaboration with all other fintechs. We don't take anybody as our competition. Yes, there are people who can take us as competitions, but for us, we are always open to, you can say, collaborations. That was because during COVID, we observed that there have been a lot of startups that are merging into other startups and they're sharing their portfolios, they're sharing their clientele base to become bigger. So I had actually mainly three reasons to venture into fintech solution providers. First, as I said, the collaboration, we were always open to collaboration. Second is that it gives us a lot of quicker learning. Since we are like, you can say, we are working alongside other tech and fintech startups. We learn from them very quickly. There are products and there are services that they have refined. So instead of reinventing the wheel and going against the tide, we decided like, let's collaborate. Let's learn from them. Maybe they can learn from us. So we are in that kind of ecosystem. The third and most important reason was the business decision. It was not related to, you can say, getting access to finance, and it was not about collaboration. It was mainly a business decision because, you see, after featuring in Jitex 2021, we had a huge pool of people coming in and out of in and out with evaluating us. Some companies were evaluating us as $20 million. Some were evaluating us at $32 million, and there was too much going on. We had a funding commitment of around $6.9 million at the start of 2022. So we were really getting serious with that money, and we were planning on nano loaning and other kind of portfolios, adding other products to us. That's why the collaboration part was really easy for us, because we were planning on spending all this finance that was coming in to the company on collaborating and acquiring other smaller finance startups to grow ourselves bigger. But you see, after that time, some of the political conditions changed in Pakistan, and we were like having a bit tough time of landing the finances in Pakistan. Everybody was like, let's keep it overseas, and we can do, you can say, tranche-based funding whenever needed. But you see, that's what's kind of got us into thinking, like, what can we do? What can we do? What else can we do to have greater finances and less, you can say, equity, less equity liquidation? So at that point, we came up with this, somehow some people got connected with us, and they were really interested in tech. So we got into talking and we got into working, and they were like, can you give us this tech? Can you give us this tech? We really need that. So at that point, we were like, okay. So we are, all this time, we had this big, huge tech under ourselves that we can sell and we can generate revenue instead of liquidating on our assets. So that's one thing a lot of startups are missing today. A lot of developed startups, you have developed some systems, and if you have developed it in a modular microservices architecture, this sort of way, then there's always room for you to sell those things, because it's a lot of investment. When you're developing tech products, you have to do the R&D, you have to do the, you can say, basic knowledge, and you have to hire the experts, you have to hire good team to do that. So to come up with a way to have less equity of ours going out and have the company running and floating, we started this fintech solutions arm, where we are working with other fintechs. We are providing them with services, some against you can say collaboration agreements, some against the you can say service agreements. So that got us a lot of liquidation coming into the company. So we got a funding of $6.9 million, but more than $6.5 million is still sitting with the investors. We never needed it because we were getting so much service clientele. And yes, of course, as you said, it's a distraction. It's a price that we have to pay. And to come up with a way that we are not distracted that much, we kind of deliberated our, you can say, you know, our duties. So there are some certain clients that my partner handles, and there are certain my team operations that only I handle. So I'm really fortunate and lucky to have such nice peers and partners who work on these things with me and were always there, were always putting their families behind and going abroad and doing the meetings and everything, so I can handle the tech over here in the back office. So it's a collective effort that enabled us to experiment with this venture of going into solutions while developing a fintech. Sometimes it comes as a challenge, like there would be a client coming in and they need our services, they like our services, but they're not so sure. They're like, you are a competition. Why would we buy tech from you? You can always rig us and do something bad with our customers or something like that. And we were like, okay, we have a couple of customers that you can reach out and who can vouch for us. That's the maximum we can do to develop the confidence in the market. So that's the kind of drive that we had. But I guess to summarize my answer, the biggest factor was the business decision. The biggest factor was the business decision.
And just so that the listeners understand, right? So, so you have products that you sell, tech that you resell, right? So like internal components for other fintechs. Great, I love that model. And then you do services as well, where you basically help them build stuff, right? Now, Exactly. Would you go beyond fintechs? Like, would people be able to come to you to build games, as an example?
Yes, because we've worked in large corporate automation systems. We've worked a lot with the government sector in Pakistan. We've worked with solid waste management operations. We've worked with, poverty alleviation projects. These are large corporates with like 5,000 plus people who are being managed on the system, 1,000 plus machinery or vehicles being managed on the system. So we are basically a tech company. Okay. My team specializes in finance. Aside from that, the mother company that we have Zin Solution that specializes in corporate automation of corporate processes and corporate management services and alongside with travel services. So, we have specialties in multiple industries. For example, we are the only technology provider, the certified technology provider of Sabre GDS in Pakistan. Sabre provides airline booking management system. And so we are their certified developer. So like that, we have other services also. Finance is kind of, you can say, our main cherry on the top, I can say. So we have other services. So we are open to all sort of work like that. And the teams we have, they are more than capable of understanding these industries, their needs, their problems, and addressing them. Okay. So moving forward.
I was just going to say, Jackie, sorry, I've been asking all the questions because I'm so fascinated. So I'm just giving Jackie an opportunity to follow up on it.
Well, Wouter, you said that you had a million questions, so
yeah, I have to hold back.
We're prepared to sit back for a while.
Because every time Usman was saying something, I was like, I'm pretty sure Wouter has a question. Say interesting for... especially for Wouter, because he's also pretty much has been in the same journey.
Yeah,
most, Wouter. So
a version of it, right?
Yeah.
So there's some similarities, that's for sure.
But now with everything that is going on in your life, Usman, and how do you ensure that you're still aligned with your end goal or your objectives or the objectives of your company?
Yeah, Jackie, you're right. That becomes a challenge at times because You see, when we get into service sector business, there are a lot of focus that is required to build a product for somebody, and building it their way. Whereas in startup, you're building what you like and where your goals are and where your ambitions are and where your passions are. So keeping that in line is one of the biggest challenges that we face. But me and my partners, we developed this couple of routines. Like we must sit on every weekend and brainstorm on things. We must sit on every weekend and review the progression, review the plans that we made for our own startup, how we are entering the market, how we are expanding the market. And I guess the biggest drive that is keeping us aligned with our goals is that the actual business and the actual volume that we are going to get, and right now the responses that we're getting from on MyTM from the market, that is huge. I mean, the service industry is nice, it's helping us get on our feet easily, reach our goals quickly, but the main thing, the goals are always on the mind. And when you get appreciation in market, when you enter into market and you're watching the dashboards and everything, we have these, you can say, analytical platforms that we have developed. So every day, first thing in the morning, I'm logging into my master portal and I'm seeing, okay, how much transactions did we do on the MyChain platform yesterday? How much was the volume? Okay, it was 30 million yesterday. Why is it less today? What's going on in the market? Are people not traveling that much? Are people not doing the banking transactions that much? What's going on? So it's kind of you have to incorporate these things into a routine, like an exercise. So every morning, the first thing I come up to office and I do is like checking on the portal, checking on those things, aligning the sales teams with that, aligning the marketing teams with that, so that they stay on a course. When you're running a ship this big, it's always check to go on, knock a hammer on every door and bit and check if it's sound. So that kind of keep us aligned with our goals. And plus, you see, there's a huge long drive and process on our back, like 5 years, 6 years, we've been working towards it. So there have been times when we didn't afford anything else but to pay for the salaries at MyTM and pay from our pockets, pay from our savings. So that always keeps us in a line. Like we've given up too much of the family time, too much of other things to grow this startup. So obviously the service sector is demanding, but you have to like nudge your head. You have to like take a splash of water and see like, okay, this is my reality. This is what my vision is. This is what I'm actually working for. And you have to keep on reviewing things continuously to keep a tab on like what's going on and how is it being done, because you can departmentalize always, and scalability is one of the biggest challenge that you face after getting funded or after getting, you can say, into business. Most of the startups, they start with a couple of dozen people, and later on down the road, within a couple of months, they're going from 100, 200, 300 employees. So if you don't have a scalability and monitoring plan available with you, it can go out of hand and go in wrong direction very quickly. So luckily we had exposure of running big operations, of running big teams with us in the past of more than 300, 400 people. So that helped us keep track on all those people. And while keeping track, we are always, you see, up to date on what's going on. Is it aligned with our goals or not? It's a huge challenge. And you have to too much passionate about what you're doing to like eat, sleep, and drink your startup. So that's kind of our thing. I would be getting calls from my partners like 2 a.m. in the morning, like, dude, I just slept. And he would be like, no, I got this idea and I got to discuss with you. Is it technically possible or not? I was like, okay. And then we get into our conversation, and later on we'll see, okay, it's already morning and we've been talking for 3 hours on the phone over the night. And our wives don't really agree with that, but that's kind of a collateral damage that we have to take.
Or a Saturday morning what is it, 4 a.m. Jackie, where we have to do some last-minute fixes.
I guess the weekends that I've had in last 2 years, because of the work and everything, and some reach out meeting, something is coming up. And plus, we're working in multiple regions. So, like in Saudi Arabia, Saturday and Sunday is a working day. So they have Friday off. So that becomes our working day. So it's like 24/7 operations. But you see, we always try to find some time for ourselves, find some time for the family, to unwind, to unrelax, and we can just get our mind out of those things, because you always need a fresher perspective. So
it's also good for your mental health.
Yes.
To set some time aside. But was this always something that you wanted to do, Usman? You know, when you start up something, it's pretty much getting out of your comfort zone too. But with this, was this always something that you wanted to do, or something that?
Yeah, so Jackie, it wasn't like I wanted to do this specific thing. I never wanted to build this specific startup. The main drive, the passion that me and my partner share, that is to make an impact. Do something that makes an impact for the masses. So there are problems like for the lower income areas, there is no financing available for home consumer items and those sort of things. And they all fall into these loan sharks and those sort of people. So these kind of problems, they don't really let us sleep. And we really feel compassionate about solving these problems. So there's not one way to solve this problem. We started MyTM. We started it as a company who would facilitate access to finance. That was our goal. That is our goal today. And we just keep on finding new things, new ways to do that. So to answer your question, what we wanted to do was to help people. We wanted to create value as somebody who would want to expose them to the services, to the facilities that they are never exposed to. So that their life and their businesses thrive. And that gives us a kind of, you can say, eternal joy, eternal happiness. Like, okay, that's fulfilling. Well, I mean, aside from the money that we make, the fulfillment is really important for that. So the challenges along the way are always outweighing your ambitions. You're always rethinking, like, what am I doing? Is this okay? Is this okay? But the main drive stays the same. The drive is that you want to help, you want to create value, and you want to create an impact. So once your drive is aligned on those sort of parameters, you always find a way to keep on working, keep on doing. You see, one of the challenges, a couple of years ago, in the March of 2022, I stepped down from the position of technology director at my own company. So why did I do that? Because we were going so rapidly, and it was becoming overwhelming for me to actually keep our hands on everything. So we had to bring in technology experts in our company, people who have more experience than me and a lot of exposure than me, and to help us create the next generation. Well, it was great until I steered it up that point. I still work with those people. I kind of, you can say, oversee everything that they do. I approve everything that they do. But you see, these kind of challenges come with scalability. You have to find what you are good at. So I was good at tech. Then I got into finance, and then I got into startup product building, finding ways to help this startup grow, help the goal, the ambition of getting access to finance. So at that point, if I kept on working too much in the tech, getting too much involved in the tech, then I would not have been doing justice to my passion. So these kind of challenges you have to come up with. Obviously, we were fortunate enough to afford some, you can say, good resources. If we were in an earlier stage and we did not afford, then I would have to work over hours like we used to do. Like we were doing the development in the daytime, and in the nighttime we were, you can say, learning on finance, learning on startup cultures, learning on working with the incubation systems, working with the mentors and everything. So it gets hectic. So
at 2 a.m. getting calls.
Yeah.
About ideas.
Yes. And you see, when you involve investors and when you involve valuations and everything, they're like a billion documents that they need before sending you anything. So that also becomes hectic, and communicating with them, keeping them on board with the vision and with the processes that you're going forward with. Because there's always, we try to involve the investors and people in our startups who are from the similar industry, who have the similar feeling for the industry, so they can guide us better with their knowledge base and with their, like if somebody is making a bicycle and they collaborate with some other who is making a bicycle, they can always come up with better ways to make a bicycle. So instead of collaborating with somebody who makes shoes, so I would prefer collaborating with somebody who's in finance and who's in banking and who's in startup culture. So that again comes us back to why we are working as a fintech industry, because we're, as a fintech solution provider, we're always meeting new and exciting people with amazing ideas. And I try to open up myself as much as I can for them to learn from my mistakes, learn from the path that we have taken.
And if there's anything that you could change now, if you were to go back, is there something that you would have done differently?
I guess there's too many things like that got us here. So yes, there are a couple of things, couple of mistakes.
Or like, if you could go back, if you could go back and give advice to yourself just starting out now, what advice would you give yourself?
I would give myself advice to have more courage, be more outgoing than I actually were, because that's what got me the push, that was got me the recognition, and that's what's kept going us up till now. Initially, I was not that confident, I was not that outgoing, and plus, you see, I was always rethinking on things, but as an overthinker by nature. But you see, I would advise myself to take the leap, knock on every door. That's what I've learned from my partner, because you see, in 700 plus rejections that we got, he was the one who was always knocking another door, okay, just leave 350 that have already rejected us, let's knock the new one. So that's the advice I would give myself, like keep on going, keep on working, and everybody else who's in the startup culture, because you never know which cloud would rain. So don't bet on a single cloud, or don't go out with a single approach. Always keep going, knocking on the door, and have a big heart to accept, okay, it didn't work out, let's move on to the next one.
Let's move on to the next one. Nice. Well, thank you. Thank you, Usman, for taking the time to be with us today. To our listeners, we hope you enjoy the show, definitely, especially those starting out their own businesses, their own startups. I hope you could take away a great deal from Usman's experience. So thank you. Thank you very much, Usman. And of course, yes.
And I would like to thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to express everything that I could. And I guess it's really a great effort that you guys are putting forward towards helping other startups and ecosystems grow, helping them learn. Because conventionally, we don't get to, you see, learn from others' experiences in this much open manner, and this is a really great platform, and the effort that you guys are doing is really great. I would like to thank you guys for that, on behalf of the whole startup community, if I may say.
Well, thank you, Usman. We appreciate it, and especially for our listeners who would like to get in touch with you, where can they best reach you, or where can they best find you?
Okay, they can find me over LinkedIn. They can always email me over usman@mytm.pk, and we are always open to suggestions, criticisms, and everything. We are on our every social media platform. We are always trying our best to answer the questions personally. I have all the social medias on my phone directly, and if even if our PR teams are not able to answer some questions, me and my partner would be just jumping in and giving people the guidance and answers ourselves, because you see you have to be that passionate about something for other people to see the vision in that.
Awesome. And thank you once again, Usman. For listeners, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. It helps others discover our show. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you all again soon. Once again, this is Jackie DeMenk.
And Wouter Delbar.
Stay tuned for the next episode of Mangtas Nation.
Thank you for tuning in to Mangtas Nation. Mangtas, your curated marketplace for B2B outsourcing solutions. Follow our social media pages to know more about us. Sign up as a client or sign up as a vendor and be part of this global B2B marketplace. Join us at www.mangtas.com.